דקה, זקה, עברת בי כמו תפילה, דימה טובה, נושקת בי את יופייך, עצוב ומאושר. לא 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 לא.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Impassioned Marriage Podcast. Today, I'm going to be speaking about a little bit of a controversial subject, that of submission. Specifically, should we submit to our spouses? But first, if you like my content, please come follow me on Twitter at David Feldman or visit my website at www.davidfeldman.com. I'd love to see you in both places and get to know you a little bit better. Submission. Now, when we speak about submission, especially within our intimate relationships, it has many, many loaded meanings. Many people think of a master and slave relationship, or others may think it has to do with some sort of weird sex. And for others, it may conjure up some ancient religious patriarchal laws between husband and wife. But no matter how you state it, and no matter what your position is, certainly the idea of submission is very, very controversial. But rather than leaving the meanings to chance, let's take a look at how Oxford Dictionary defines the word submission. The action or fact of accepting or yielding to a superior force or to the will or authority of another person. Essentially, the idea of submission is that we yield or accept to somebody else's superior force or perhaps superior intellect or some aspect of superiority, or to just the will and authority of another person. Now, if this is the definition of submission, it's very difficult to divorce the word submission from ideas such as being forced to do something, or if we are submitting, then we are saying our partner is superior to us, or that we are granting authority over us from our partner. It's definitely a difficult word to use in our modern day 21st century relationship lexicon. As a matter of fact, I almost never hear it used outside of tradcon circles or very conservative environments. But today I'd like to challenge that belief because in my opinion, submission does not imply that the object of our submission is superior to us. Nor does it mean that they have control over us or even that we are being forced to do something against our will. Submission does not have to imply coercion. In truth, we willingly submit to others all the time. We submit to our bosses, our teachers, our airline pilots. As a matter of fact, we oftentimes engage people, such as doctors or personal trainers, to whom we actually pay for the privilege of submitting to. Recently, when redoing our bathroom, my wife and I were lamenting over our poor decision not to hire an interior decorator to whom we would gladly yield our authority over, submit to his will, and let him make all the decisions. We firmly believed that an interior decorator would have had much more superiority over these types of decisions and choices than we have ourselves, and we would have been happy, we would have paid for the ability to submit ourselves to his will. When we submit, we believe not that the person is superior to us, certainly not in value, but that they possess an aspect of superiority that we don't, that they are superior to us in some way, be it a knowledge, skill, wisdom, or strength. In such cases, we are happy to cede control and willingly subjugate our will to their will because we know that we will be better for it. The issue with submission, then, isn't when we can clearly see the benefits. When that's the case, it's a no-brainer. The issue and difficulty with submission is when we can't see the benefit, or worse, when we don't believe there will be a benefit, when we don't trust the person to whom we are submitting. Because why should I submit to your will when I can do it better myself? My first lesson in submission in married life was at age 26. Newly married, my wife and I would walk our newborn baby to temple every Saturday day in his little carriage because we don't drive on our Sabbath. Inevitably, at some point on the way home, our little son would start to cry, and the same argument would ensue each week. Should we just hurry our pace and get home as soon as possible so he could nurse? Or repeatedly stop and soothe him multiple times along the way, delaying his ultimate happiness and ours? My wife was just not comfortable with allowing our newborn to shed any tears. As a new mommy, she just couldn't bear to see him suffer, even for a moment. The second he piped up, she would stop the stroller, for what felt like hours, put in his pacifier, and make mommy cooing noises until he calmed down. But I felt that the faster we could get home, the quicker relief he would feel. I wanted us to ignore the whimpering as much as possible so that he could be taken care of properly in the comfort of our own home much faster. I felt strongly that all the stopping and starting was just delaying his relief and prolonging his suffering. I don't know if you can hear it in my voice, but 25 years later, I still think that I am right. Due to the ongoing nature of this argument, we decided that we would call our rabbi and submit to his decision. Whatever he said, we would agree to. And while technically asking the rabbi itself is a type of submission, his words to me are the point of the story. This is what he said to me. "David, does this involve your new baby?" I said, "Yes." "And your wife has a strong opinion in this case?" "Yes." "Do you trust your wife as a good mother?" "Of course." "Then you must always listen to her regarding your infant children. She is in charge and she has the final say." I was speechless. "To encourage me to compromise with my wife?" "Okay." "To encourage me not to make a fuss, even though I was clearly right?" "Okay." "To suggest we work it out peacefully or make some other arrangement?" "Fine." "But to tell me that I must submit to my wife? That I must bend my will to her will and accept her final say?" "Huh? Wasn't I the man of the home? Isn't Judaism a patriarchy? And don't I even have a voice, 50% at least?" And while the rabbi wasn't telling me never to voice my opinion and to share my thoughts, he did put me in my place, because he knew what I didn't know, that in our relationships we have different dimensions of power, gifts and strength that God bestows upon husband and wife, male and female. And unbeknownst to my younger, more naive self, was that my wife is superior to me in her innate understanding of her baby's needs. And that is in my best interest, and more importantly, in our baby's best interest, for me to yield my will to her will and authority in this area. Basically, to submit to her. I've written a deeper analysis of gender differences and spheres of influence, which you can find on my website. So I'm not going to get into that here. But my purpose here today is to dispel the myth, the connotation that submission is a dirty word. It's not. It's a statement of trust and the recognition of superiority in some aspects of life that you grant to another. And that is a privilege for you to have such a person in your life, such an expert that you can trust, that you can submit to. Should you submit to your spouse? That's for you to decide. But in my book, you would be a lucky person if you could. Thank you for joining me in another episode of the Impassioned Marriage Podcast. Please visit me on my website, www.davidfeldman.com, to read my blog as well as listen to more podcasts. And follow me on Twitter, where all the action is, at David Feldman. Also, if you are interested in working together, you can set up a clarity call on my website, as well as send me an email at DavidFeldman@gmail.com. Take care and God bless, and we'll see you next week for another episode of the Impassioned Marriage Podcast. Daka, zaka, avarta bi kmo tfila, dima tova, nosheket bit yofiecha, atzuv meushav, la 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 la